This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Welcome to the editing bay. It is now a week since I returned from Bali, and OG, my
pain in the ass partner.
Yeah, no,
mental I can't, stability.
That's exactly. I'm trying to think of the word. It's jet lag. Holy cow, my jet lag is just beginning to go away. So I can't even remember what that word. What are we doing, OG? Oh. We're going to play a live from Bali episode today.
Welcome to the family trip slideshow.
Raise your glasses because we got to salute our troops as we do every Monday before we send us out to the retreat center where Amy Minkley had her Phi Freedom retreat. So here's to our troops. On behalf of the men and women making podcast, well, in this case, from Indonesia, and on behalf of the men and women of Navy Federal Credit Union, here's to our troops. Let's go stack some Benjamins together, shall we?
Cheers. Live from... Wait, what? He's where? Really? Okay, never thought I'd be saying this one. Live from Bali, Indonesia, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and, well, we thought Joe'd just run out to the store for another six-pack of Tang, but turns out he's gone halfway across the world to speak at Amy Minkley's Phi Freedom Retreat. We'll feature stories of stackers doing amazing things, like Annie, who's experimented with van life, and Tanya, who figured out she was ready to retire by accident. And that's not all. Joe's got a special guest co-host from the Catching Up to Phi podcast, Becky Heptig. And that's still not all, because I'll be sure to share some of my amazing Bali-rific trivia. Yeah, that's a word now. And now, a woman whose path to Phi was amazing and a man who's already saying, hey, remember that time we went to Bali? It's Becky Heptig and Joe Salsihan.
Becky, have you ever said that before? Hello, Bali.
I have not, but yeah. Can I do it?
Yes.
Can I practice it?
Yes.
All right. Hello, Bali. All right. Now I can say I've said it.
It's so wild that we're here. Welcome, everybody, to the Stacky Benjamin Show. I am Joe Salsihi, Average Joe Money on, what is it, Twitter, X? I'm not sure what we call it now. And you are Becky Heptig, the Becky Heptig from the Catching Up to Phi podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
So glad you're here with us. So for people that don't know Catching Up to Phi, the three people that don't know Catching Up to Phi, tell us what you and Bill do.
Well, my co-host Bill and I are talking to our audience about starting late to financial independence. These are folks that wake up in their 40s or 50s, say, oh my gosh, I haven't been paying attention to my money. Retirement is right down the road. And what do I do now?
Hey, wait, this was you. This was you.
It was. It was. My husband and I woke up, realized that we had been not paying attention to anything having to do with money. We got into some debt. Then we kind of woke up, started making adult decisions, and turned things around. We started with net worth zero at 50 years old and retired at 63.
How great is that? 50 to 63 and they made it. So,
nice job.
It is doable. And we have an audience that we believe is underserved. There's a lot of folks out there in that position, but when you wake up in that position,
yes,
you feel alone. And you feel like I'm the only one on the planet that has screwed things up this bad.
And there's a lot of people who are in that boat.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
But I heard the secret to your success was you told Stephen to start getting busy, damn it. Right?
That's
right. Like, get off his butt and start doing
right.
Is that true?
Well, yes. He had his, well.
Yes.
Yes. Maybe. We'll talk about that later. So he had his own business, and there were some issues, not his fault, that kind of sent that into the ditch. And so one of the things that helped us immensely was he was able to get a really good W-2 job, gave us some stability and a place to start. And at that point, we started learning and getting educated about what to do with that income. Because before that, we would probably have just blown that too.
Biggest thing I started doing was hiding money from myself. Like, seriously, just using automatic deposits to go to the right places. Was that your first move?
Honestly, our first move was to just get a handle on what we were spending. And this was many, many years ago. We started with Dave Ramsey, and he...
Dave who? No, I'm kidding.
Big DR. So we did start with Dave Ramsey. That got us turned around. And the biggest thing it did for us was, as he does for millions of people, it helped us get out of debt, and it helped us change our mindset about money. And we realized that, you know, we could do this correctly, and it was possible. So the first thing I did literally was get white envelopes, put food, clothing.
You did the envelope
groceries.
System.
I did. I put the white envelopes with cash in them in my purse. This was before apps and smartphones. So
right.
This was in the Stone Age.
She's like on her way with no shoes, walking uphill a mile.
Both ways.
Yeah, to work. Becky, we got some great guests today.
We do, and I'm so excited about it.
We're going to tell some fantastic stories. By the way, we will link to not only Catching Up to Fi, but also you and I at a campfire. You and Stephen both told your story on Stacky Benjamin's a couple years ago. We'll link to that episode for people that want to hear that inspiring story.
Awesome. Thank you.
At stackybenjamins.com.
This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You, a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, Stackers, it's Military Appreciation Month. You know what that means? We are recognizing all of our Stackers in the audience. My good friend Nortz, Doug Nordman, who some of you may know, he is a writer in personal finance. He's a guy I'd like to do a shout out to. He is such a giving member of the FIRE community, the Financial Independence Retire Early community. Nortz will do anything for you. It's just, I think some of that comes from his time on a submarine, like my nephew Colin, who's on a submarine right now, and all the work that he did there. Just a super giving member of the community. And you know what? Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate their members who go above and beyond, not this month, but every month. Navy Federal offers members only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals.
Here's one of their offers in honor of Military Appreciation Month. Join and get $50 when you open a credit card. Of course, you want to have your whole debt strategy planned out, don't you? Don't just go open a credit card willy-nilly, as mom says. Here's a disclaimer. You got to join and open your membership savings account between May 1st and May 31st. So get on it, stackers. Annual percentage yield is a 0.25% for membership savings account. $5 minimum balance to open. Maintain your membership savings account to obtain the bonus. Visit NavyFederal.org for full terms and conditions. That's just one of the things. They offer 24/7 help for their U.S.-based service members. They have resources all over the place. Head to NavyFederal.org for full terms, conditions, and other offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Let's get on it. How about we get started?
Sure, let's go.
Yes, our first guest is somebody who thinks living in a van down by the river might be a great idea. Let's hear it for Annie. It was funny while Annie's sitting down, Becky, I said that to Annie. I'm like, when she said that she'd been experimenting with van life, I thought she was going to say a van down by the river. And Annie, you said that when you're in a van, being down by the river is like the best place.
It's the best spot. All the best get to be there.
So Saturday Night Live nailed it.
They sure did.
Yes. Tell us about why you decided to start van life. I mean, there's a bunch of people who do this, who do it a lot more certainly than you have, but you've been dabbling in this. Tell us how that got started.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, it was during the pandemic when all the borders were closed, and typically I would travel internationally, but I didn't have that opportunity anymore. And I thought, well, we have quite a lot at our disposal here in the U.S., and what might be the best way to see it? So with very little planning, I just decided I could see as much as I wanted in a van.
If I can't be international, I'll be in a van. Like, that seems to be two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, it is a little bit, but I think the flexibility and the fluidity of going where you want, when you want, when you're in a van is really what appealed to me.
Now, you said you didn't really plan at all?
Not too much. I just had to figure out a van rental company. I don't have a van of my own. I don't even have a car of my own. So I just had to figure out which company would give me the best deal, of course. And then I decided where I wanted to go and where I would pick up the vehicle. And then I could decide what I wanted to see.
That's amazing. So when you rented the van, how did that process go?
First, I checked in with some friends who I know had done it. So I wanted to know where I could get the best deal because there's quite a few out there. But I just researched and decided that the van, the particular company that I used, where they had locations, and they have a free one-way. So I thought, hey, I can see the most of the United States in a certain period of time if I don't have to do a giant loop, but rather can do kind of a one-way destination. And so I just secured the reservation online after I figured out how much time I wanted to spend on the road. And I did want to dabble with trying remote work from remote locations. And so just decided how much time that would be, and I booked it.
So did this van have like 16 seats in it, or was it already equipped to camp in?
Yeah, so they were converted, but it was not a van you could stand up in. It was like I think a 350 or a 150, so one of those two. I had both on that trip because one broke down. But it basically had a kitchen that would pull out from the back of the car, so you had to be outdoors to use
the
kitchen.
Okay. So if it rains, you're screwed.
Oh, if it rains, you're not leaving that van. Yeah. I wasn't anyway, except for when it leaked, and then sometimes you had to make...
This sounds better and better, Annie. Like a whole thing. Yeah. How do I get some of this? It breaks down and it leaks? I'm in. What about how much was it, if you don't mind me asking, to rent the van?
Great question. So I did it for a month, and it was about, I want to say about $3,000, but that can fluctuate. At the time, because it was the pandemic, they were running a lot of sales, and so they actually, it was half off to do it for the full month for about $3,000. Yeah, no, but that was it. So because it was half off, why not go? And so I did a month.
So this was during the pandemic. So were you able to go to the places you wanted to go to, even though most of the country was shut down?
I was, right. So by vehicle, you can pretty much go where you'd like to go. So I went to, did a lot of national parks, but I was primarily in California, Utah, a little bit of Nevada. So I got to do a lot of the parks actually were amazing at that time because there was very few tourists. The part about van life that I think is particularly exciting when you're on the West Coast is that you can do a lot of boondocking, which is just camping in the middle of nowhere, so you don't really need amenities, and as a result, you can do that at pretty much any time. Mm-hmm.
So you were camping in places that didn't necessarily have, like, RV hookups, or, I mean, did you have electricity and water?
That sounds so fancy. No, usually no.
Okay.
Yeah, where'd you put the satellite TV? No, I'm kidding. I wonder about your house during that time. Did you get rid of wherever you were living and just live? I mean, did you have rent and you were renting the van, or were you just renting the van and that was your only housing cost?
So, yeah, I own a home of my own, and I did not rent it out, but I house hack, so I still had a roommate at the time.
Okay, so you had some money coming in from the house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as well. Did it cover the mortgage?
It covered half.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. The goal then was to do what? Because you have this expense of a house at home, and you have the van expense, the $1,500 then, right, if it's half off? Mm-hmm. So you've got that expense additionally. Like, what was the goal when you decided to test out living in a van down by the river?
So first of all, the van half off was $3,000, so it would have been probably
6,000.
About 6. Yeah, they can get pretty expensive if they're converted. That's why I would plug the SUV I got for $800 for a month once.
Okay.
But I would say, could you repeat what you're looking for?
Yeah, so you have two expenses. So instead of decreasing expenses, right, you increased expenses.
Sure did.
So you moved into a van and your cost actually went up. Most people, I would imagine, that when they get the van, their cost goes down. Were you test driving that for a strategy for maybe later on in life or for something else? Or was it just, let's go see?
Great question. So part of the reason I wanted to do it was to see how well I could remote work. So this was kind of a test period, and I knew I was going to have to pay for that. But it was a financially good decision because I got to see so much for that $3,000. So if I had done it a traditional route and spent 2 days and had a rental car and had to pay for lodging, I mean, I probably spent, I would say, about a fourth of what I would have spent if I did it the traditional route and had to have a place to stay every night.
That's fabulous. When it came to your budget for other things, did you notice any other costs that went up or everything else go through the floor?
Well, the gasoline. So that's a part that's not included in that, how much I spent for that month.
That's where they get you.
They really do. Gas. Yeah, they do. So the gasoline portion, I think I spent $500 to $800 a week on gas, but I was booking it. So I would only spend probably a night or two in each location, and then I would go to the next.
And were you doing this by yourself?
That particular trip actually had somebody with me, so a friend was with me in the van, okay. And I also had other friends who heard about taking this trip during the pandemic, and at one point, I think we had 4 cars caravanning for 1 week of it, which was fun.
Oh, nice.
You must have met other caravans, too, I would imagine. You must have met other people doing similar stuff, or because of the pandemic, were you far away from them?
Yeah, it's interesting. In van life, I anticipated there would be a big community of people who would want to socialize.
Sure.
For the most part, what I found the majority of the time is people themselves wanted to be isolated, which is why they were out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So I did have a little bit of a community because I knew people who had lived in vans and they'd met up with us. But no, I did not make too many new connections during that trip.
So as you went across the country, did you have to plan ahead of where I'm going to stop tonight, or can you just wing it?
Yeah, you can wing it, which is awesome.
Ooh.
So I did most of the winging. I think there was like a rough itinerary once going out there as to I'd like to hit these locations maybe at some point, I guess, if it works out. So it is very much, you can decide one day at noon that you thought you would stay overnight in a location, but overhear a conversation from another table next to you at breakfast and realize they're talking about something happening 4 hours away tonight and you want to be there and all you have to do is get in your car and go. So being able to be wherever you want at a moment's notice is one of the greatest advantages of living in a van.
And is that still the case post-pandemic?
It sure is.
Best national park you went to?
Death Valley, maybe, but I actually really like the Valley of Fire State Park in Nevada. That was my favorite.
Oh, I like Death Valley a lot, too. Wasn't it wild? It was so wild. We were in by like 11 a.m. every day because it got so hot. But the mornings at Death Valley, it was amazing. Like, I didn't even want to go because of the words Death Valley. Like, but Cheryl said, hey, let's go. And it was amazing.
Yeah, it's a little off-putting by name, but the experience really
They
is
need to rename
great.
It. They got bad PR.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, really bad. They need to redo that. And then besides the car breaking down, worst experience, if you were going to do this full time, what would you change?
There was a couple of times when I did do it solo, and when the van leaked during a rainstorm and I was in the Pac Northwest during rainy season, I got nervous. But I figured that out. And I think it's one of those, you know, if it doesn't, kill you, it makes you stronger kind of thing. So one thing I would really like if I was to do this more permanently is I would have a vehicle with a refrigerator in it. I did have a refrigerator door in some of my cars and other cars none, but that's probably about it. To have a fridge, right. There's other things that are inconvenient, like finding places to stay can sometimes be a challenge, but there's no way to really fix that.
I have to ask this question. Did it have a porta potty?
This is a very good question. And none of the vehicles, except for one, when I camped with a cousin who lives in a Volkswagen Westfalia, he has a composting toilet. But other than that vehicle, all of my others have not had toilets in a traditional sense.
Would that change next time?
Yes. If I ever owned my vehicle and did this more frequently, I would certainly have some sort of toilet.
We're getting very analytical about the...
It's important stuff.
Tell us more about this s***er.
I'd prefer to tell you about the she-we.
But it's funny. Do you see yourself doing this again in the future? Like, was that a successful thing that now you see yourself maybe not having a house and ever doing van life full time?
Yeah, I would like to if I was fully remote at work. So that might be the part that's holding me back. But I have done it many times since. And now I know even the SUVs I can rent that I know I can lay down horizontally in without a problem. And I do it frequently.
And this is the thing that holds a lot of people back, of course, because of the job, because of the boss. Your goal was to work remotely. How did that work out with the boss, with the job, with clients?
It was great during the pandemic because I was not expected to be anywhere physically during that time.
Could you do it today, though, you think?
I could for a short period of time. So if I was ever to get a vehicle of my own, I would not be able to do like long travel on the road without needing to come back to my home base.
Yeah, that's awesome. Annie, thank you so much for telling your story and for helping people maybe decide I'm trying to stay away from the toilet stuff, but I can't. Thank you for all you people who understand toilets and vans. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
It is interesting, though. We have how many people that work or that are here with us are digital nomads that go, I know Chris is here, is a digital nomad. And Chris, you've been doing it for how long?
I'm in my fifth year.
You're in your fifth year. And for you, do you mind coming up here for a second? We have an impromptu guest, everybody. Say hi to Chris. We're going to go from part-time to full-timer. So 5 years ago, you just said, I'm gone.
No, I planned for a year.
Okay.
I like logistics and planning and thinking ahead and understanding what to hopefully expect.
But yours was going to be a full-time. I mean, it wasn't.
Yes.
You weren't going to be in a van for a little while. You were going to do this forever.
Correct. This was very purposeful. I had learned about digital nomad communities, and at the same time, I learned about the FIRE communities and minimalism. And so I married all those three like core ideas, you know, or communities together. I took all the tenants and married it together, and I knew this was the life that would work best for me.
And has that been the case?
Absolutely.
What do you wish you would have planned for more? And what do you feel like you over-prepared for and you were too nervous about that you probably could have been a little more laid back on?
Great, yeah. I'm really proud of myself for diving deep into a lot of different categories. I felt quite prepared. I did actually here in Bali is the first time I ran into my biggest trouble was I couldn't access my cash.
Oh.
Out of 20, 22 countries, I got here and I hit some ATMs and my Charles Schwab, my golden debit card, I couldn't get my money out. And so talk about feeling, you know, I've reached a nice portion of my FI and I'm sitting here like, I'm a poor rich person, right? Like, I can't get my literal cash. So that was an interesting obstacle, but I'm a really, really good problem solver. I worked through it. I found out what I needed to do, not use that card with certain machines.
And you aren't the only one.
Yeah, well, I think I kind of forewarned a few people, but then they figured it out here too. And so that was interesting because I've been to so many other countries and I haven't had a problem because I purposefully banked with them because they said they handle travelers. you know, they're
liars.
The right? But they were so kind about it too, because obviously I got on the phone and they gave me a little credit for inconvenience because there was nothing they could do. It is a local issue. So thing. Now I know.
Yeah. 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 And then the best thing, the thing you could have been more laid back about that you really made you nervous?
So because I'm such a planner and I love logistics and the planning ahead gives me peace and confidence.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I've gotten really good about being open to spontaneity. And actually, just a couple days ago, I met a wonderful woman who co-owns a sailing company, and unexpectedly, I actually haven't announced this myself yet on my social media.
Wait a minute, you're announcing something for the first time
I
right
am.
Here.
I am. So is your show going to go out before my announcement?
Well, we're going to make sure it does now.
An exclusive right here.
Yeah, I am jumping on a sailboat in northern Indonesia, and I'm going to be sailing for 12 days, 11 nights, with an expert, and we're going to have cultural experiences on different islands every day, and I get a snorkel, which is one of my biggest passions, every day. And I honestly just hadn't thought about checking out different parts of Indonesia yet because I was just going to hang out here in Bali and like enjoy all of it. And yeah, I met a wonderful person because I cold emailed them. They're a president of a local Rotary Club. I reached out because I enjoy fellowship with this organization worldwide. And we just got to talking not only about what their organization is doing locally, but her personally and her husband and their life story. And when I found out this and I said, I love cruising and sailing and snorkeling, she said, we have an open cabin and it starts on October 4th.
That sounds like I would.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah.
That is amazing. That's fantastic. But yeah. But what I heard there was, you know, a lot of people will go see places, but they don't get out and talk to local people. And you went to the Rotary meeting here and you said that is a thing that you do no matter where you go. Like you try to get into the local community.
I do. So I travel the world full time. My main purpose is that I want to know what it's like to live in different communities around the world that are quite different from where I grew up across the U.S. Part of that is that I'll connect with local Rotary clubs because there's over 1.4 million members across the world. So I know there's people that are open to new friendships, and it gives me an opportunity to volunteer if something's going on at the time that I'm there. And I use a lot of other methods to connect with different community members, but this has been a nice way.
That's fabulous.
Tell me, do you have an issue in all these different countries and places you've visited and lived? Do you have an issue with language barriers?
For the most part, a lot of people speak English or enough of it that we can communicate well. I love Google Translate. I make sure I download the correct languages and I do my best. But I also find if I'm struggling with a little bit of communication, I'll actually go out to Google and Google Images. And so I'll just type in keywords, and then like you find a picture and you show it, and everyone kind of nods like, oh yeah, go this way, go that way. Or,
I had a full conversation with a gentleman outside the airport as we were waiting for our ride. We talked about what the weather's like here. We talked about everything. And it was just, we were passing the phone back and forth and having this great conversation. It was incredible. Chris, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about what it's like to be a full-timer. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Becky, let's do some trivia. How about that?
You bet.
All right, we need volunteers. John,
one.
Come on up. And then you know what? I'm going to pick on the guy who finished last a couple weeks ago at Camp Fi. David, come on up. David, by the way, is the Paula Pant of, and people that don't listen to our show don't know this, but Paula is horrible at trivia, and David, you were rotten at trivia a couple weeks ago, so we're going to give David another, and we got two dudes, so we need a woman, somebody,
right,
come on.
There we go.
Oh, the hostess with the mostest, Amy.
Miss Amy.
Yes. All right. So let's meet our victims. Your name, ma'am, is?
Amy Minkley.
And you're originally from?
Rural Texas, Amarillo.
Woo! And when you're not putting on retreats, what do you do for fun?
I am loving my life in Bali.
It sucks so bad here. It's so horrible. Yeah, I know, right? And your name?
My name's John Thomas.
And John, you're from?
Originally from Belize.
Awesome. And how long did it take you to, where do you live now?
I currently live in Jacksonville, Florida.
And how long did it take you to get here?
Ooh, 38 hours.
That's all. And you may have had some fun with, the Balinese water? Was it?
Yeah. Oh, that purification ritual really purifies you completely.
John had a lot of purification, if you know what I mean. Yes. And your name, sir?
David.
And David, you are from?
Arizona, but I live in Virginia, outside of D.C.
Awesome. And you and I have met at Camp Fi. And how many Camp Fis have you gone to?
I just finished my 9th one.
Awesome. And your favorite part of this so far?
The favorite part of Bali? I've just met so many wonderful people, and the speakers have been absolutely outstanding. And the...
Especially that first guy.
He was okay.
Do we have a replacement for David? Anybody? Yes. All right. Yes. Well, Mom's Neighbor Doug is inside the speaker, and he's going to do our trivia. So let's see what Doug's got for us.
Hey there, stackers. I'm Joe's Mom's Neighbor Doug. And hold on. What are you looking over there? Don't look over there. I'm right here. Look right at me. Anyway, I'm talking to you. Not him, I'm talking to you. I'm just kidding. But what I'm not kidding about is that Bali is one heck of a place. Am I right? Wait, I said, am I right? Yeah, that's better. Between the incredible white sand beaches on one side of the island and the black sand on the other side, the traditional dancing and drinks that could make you go blind. I mean, your mom warned you about that when you were a teenager, didn't she? There is a heap of culture in Bali. So let's ask a money-related question. In Bali, if you want to get ahead, apparently you'd better be a hard worker because while we have 365 days in a year, the traditional Balinese Pawukan calendar has far fewer. So you'd better bring your A game and then maybe take the next year off. So here's your question, stackers. Exactly how many days are in the traditional Balinese Pawukan calendar? That's probably how you say it. I'll be back with the answer after I see how this sarong fits. Joe's mom and I want to make Joe feel at home when he gets back off the plane in Texarkana.
Yeah, nothing will make me feel more comfortable in Texarkana than people meeting with me with the sarong. All right, we've got the... I think that we need... David gets to go last. Yes, because of a couple of weeks ago. So we'll give David the benefit. It feels weird having the hometown woman here. Do you know the answer to this one already, Amy?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Good guess. I think it's more like 400 days.
400 days.
Wait, I was less. I'm going to be...
He actually...
Here yes. Say, didn't he say that they have less
days? He did say it's less.
I don't want to help you. I don't want to help you, but 400 is your guess. Thank you for locking that in.
I don't think she locked it in. Hold on. Would you like another guess, Amy?
I would like another guess. Yeah, I just need, can I have a second to think? Okay, I'm gonna go with 300.
300 days. Now what's funny is we didn't even say what you guys are playing for. We're gonna play for a Stacking Benjamins t-shirt. We'll send you a code. And Amy and I got together and we brought a book for somebody who won the trivia, but we forgot and gave it away yesterday. We looked at each other today. We're like, uh-oh, yeah. But we'll send you one when we get back home, all right? So, John Thomas, 300. What do you think?
Well, I don't want to be Chelsea Brennan. So we got to give him, I'm being a total Len here. I'm going to go.
Hold on a second. For people that don't watch our show, Chelsea Brennan is a wonderful financial influencer. Chelsea's been on our show a lot. Every time that somebody says 300, Chelsea says 301. So being Chelsea Brennan means that you come in right over top of them.
I'm going to honor Len Penzo here and give her some wide berth and go with 333.
333. All right, David. It's your big move.
334.
I've been Chelsea Brennan.
Well, if you're new to Stacky Benjamins, you may not know that I've tried out a lot of personal finance apps. I like to be a guinea pig and try out all these things. So I know what I'm talking about when it comes to what's helpful and what isn't helpful. And the app that I've used the longest has been Monarch Money. And it's because Cheryl and I, my spouse, were able to collaborate together. We can work on our goals together, and our budget and our goals are right next to each other on the app. It is clearly the next generation of personal finance app. So what is it? Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, because you're a stacker, you'll get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. I love the fact that we get to collaborate. I love the fact that it's customizable. And I also love that it's this ad-free privacy you can trust. They never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch myself, I totally get why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, because you're a stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial to try it out like I try out many different apps. And this one was sticky for me because, well, you'll see when you try out the 30-day free trial. Go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. That's monarchmoney.com/Benjamins for your extended 30-day free trial. And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Well, don't worry. Betterment is here to help. Betterment's the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal, rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line, and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money's breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money in the same way again. Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. So you feeling good about your 300?
I'm not sure. No.
No.
You have all the downside. Oh, you should have stopped at 400.
And you've got 330... Three. You feeling good?
Oh, yeah. Now I understand Len.
At 334, you got all the upside.
Statistically, I might win.
What do you guys think is... Marley's raising her hand back here. What do you think? You know the answer? What do you think it is? What do you think it is? 210, she thinks. Let's see. Let's see if Marley's right, Amy's right, John Thomas is right, or I hope David's right. All right, here we go. You guys ready? Doug, what's our answer?
Hey there, stackers. I'm Balinese fashionista and soon-to-be famous traditional dancer, Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. You know, before I get you your trivia answer, I gotta ask, does this sarong make my butt look big? Nah, really, you can be honest. Hey, it really doesn't matter because if this is sarong, I don't want to be right. I got a bunch of them. It's hard to hear through the speaker, but I'm sure you laughed like crazy at that joke. I just thought of it right there on the spot. And you thought that Keith was the only one with dad jokes. I got your number, Keith. Okay, it's time to get you the big trivia answer because I'm sure you're all thrilled that one of you is walking away with Joe's book. Did he tell you he wrote a book? Or that CNN called it a must-read in 2023? Consider it your lucky day if you haven't heard that story. But our story today was about the Balinese Powukan calendar. Powukan? Powukan? Something like that. How many days are in the traditional Balinese calendar? In a move that makes zero sense to me, the Balinese created a calendar made up of some weeks that have as many as 10 days and others with as few as one day. I totally want that work week, but how many days total in a year? If you said 210, you're absolutely correct. And you have too much useless knowledge stuffed in your brain. Get a hobby. Congratulations anyways. See ya.
Marley, nice job. You should have raised your hand. Woo-hoo. Okay, so our winner is our hostess, Amy.
Thank you.
Big hand for Amy.
Nice job, David. Good work. John Thomas, David. Big hand for all three of them, everybody. Yes. And Amy, you're getting a book and a t-shirt. You get a Stacky Benjamins t-shirt. Marley, we're going to give you one too. So I just need your address. And because Becky, she nailed it.
She did. I'm loving it.
All right, let's go to the second half of the show. We're going to go from life down by the river to a woman who went, you know, I think I might be financially independent.
Ooh.
Yes. Big hand for Tanya, everybody.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
Tanya, I love the first night when we met, and you told this story to me just a little bit. And the more you tell, the more exciting it gets. But let's start here. Tell me, how the heck did you stumble your way into financial independence?
Yeah, it happened about a year ago. I was just doing my usual thing, just saving money, just working like we're supposed to do. And then I went to my first FI event. I went to Camp FI in Minnesota last year. A friend of mine told me that this was my crowd. She told me this was my tribe and that I should show up, and she was right. And so I've been to 4 or 5 events over the last year, and it's completely changed my life.
But at which, was it at one of those events that you went, I might be financially independent, or was it before that?
No, it was really at one of those events. I mean, I think up until that time, I was just, like I said, doing the usual thing. I mean, we're just trained to keep working until the day you die. You know, you work until you're 65. And so that was my plan. I had no idea that there was another option.
So let's start here. Just people listening to the podcast are like, okay, how old is she?
I am 49.
You're 49 years old. And when you first started saving, when did you start saving?
You know, I was so lucky. I was like 24 at my first job. And I was, you know, at HR, I'm doing my orientation. And the HR girl, she was 24 too. And she was saying, you know, you got to save. You got to put money in your 401k. At least you have to do, you know, what the company matches. I'm like, I don't even know what that is, you know. And so I just went ahead and started doing it. And so between that and then a few years later, you know, someone saying, yeah, put money in a Roth. I mean, that's really it. Those are the things I did.
So you did what we've talked about sometimes on Catching Up to FI, of you pay yourself first.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it begins with, you know, growing up, you know, from an immigrant family, you know, you save a lot. You don't have a lot. You know, your parents come from a poor country. So you want to, you know, save as much as you can. I mean, I think the biggest thing in my family was, you know, just do everything you can to make sure your kids have a good life. And so we really didn't have a lot, but, you know, they wanted to make sure we had a good education. And so I think you just realize you don't need very much. You know, I didn't covet things. And that's the biggest thing. It's just living in a really simple sort of way.
So you start saving at 24 into the 401k.
Yep.
The 24-year-old woman in HR says, put in at least a match. Is that what you did, or did you put in more?
I think at that moment, I think I just put in the match. I think it was like 2-3 years later that I started maxing.
Yeah. And then how did you get the aha about doing a Roth IRA on top of that?
An ex-husband. Let's be honest. But yeah, I mean, he's like, yeah, you know, put your money in this Vanguard account. I'm like, so, I mean, I'm actually pretty embarrassed to say, you know, I'm a pretty smart cookie. I know a lot about a lot of things. But financial literacy was not something that I spent a lot of time on. I think it was intimidating. I think it's still intimidating for a lot of people.
But what's great is you didn't spend a lot of time on what the hot investment was or picking the perfect investment, it sounds
like.
Oh,
heck no. I mean, I knew that I could not. I mean, that was not in my purview. I had other interests in mind. And I think that's the key, is that there are a lot of people who do have other interests in mind. So they just put the financial stuff on the back burner. And they think, you know, they don't have time for that. But they are scared of it.
Okay, so let's get to this moment then. When do you figure out, holy crap, I think I'm already there. I think I have enough that I can stop working if I choose to.
It was at Economy in March of this year. That was
you
it.
Were at the conference when you yeah. realized that you were there.
Yeah, because I was talking to people. So what happened was last September, I started meeting this people from this amazing community. And so I finally had like people I could talk about this situation with. And so I was honest. I brought out, you know, some of my numbers to somebody at Economy. And they're like, yeah, you're golden. I cried. I mean, I was in the middle of the, you know, 400 people in there. I was like, you got to be kidding me. It was just this moment of reckoning. It was crazy.
That's super cool.
It changed my life in a weekend.
Like to have that aha.
Yeah. I mean, this time a year ago, I was still I knew I wanted to probably get out of my work that I'm currently doing, even though my work is very rewarding, it's very stressful. And so it's like, well, if I'm gonna leave this job, what am I gonna do next? Really, really panicked about, you know, who's gonna hire me at 49? Is that a problem? You know, can I make the same salary? Do I need to make the same salary? So just so many questions. And then suddenly, I realized that, and now I'm completely zen. So I've got friends who are like, what happened in the last year? And that's what happened.
That's amazing to me to have that kind of realization when you had no idea it was sitting there in front of you.
No, because again, I think I was just the sheep. You know, like, yeah, you just follow the pattern. You think, yeah, you got to keep working, like keep your nose to the grindstone, do important work, do good job at, you know, for what you're doing. And then, yeah.
I think Becky, what's interesting to me about what Tanya's talking about is, you know, she's here with us in Bali. She's with like-minded people. Mm-hmm. She's gone to Camp Fies, which are like-minded people. She's at an economy. And it's partly this immersion, not that made her okay, saving made her okay, doing her thing and not being a sheep, to use Tanya language, right, made her thing. But this reaffirming confidence you get from coming to this stuff. Are you guys feeling that, the confidence you get by being here? Yeah.
So what kind of emotions came right after that? What did you feel? Because sometimes I've heard stories where people realize they're Phi and it's not what they expected.
Did you feel like John Thomas after the cleansing ritual?
It was relief. It was elation. But there's still fear there. You know, I have to admit, there's definitely still fear there. Because it's like, oh my God, okay, fine, you tell me that, but I still don't really understand how I got here.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because you and I were talking earlier, which is why I wanted you to tell this story to all the stackers, because you said you have a financial advisor.
I do have a financial advisor. I've probably seen him for about 10 years.
But I'm surprised, though. Did your advisor ever say, Tanya, I think you're okay?
No, because he was also still following the same pattern, the same MO of, you know, you work till you're 65. I mean, he told me I'd be fine after that. But, I mean, we never really discussed me possibly.
Oh, you had never brought to them that the goal was different, is what... Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't really think I knew the goal was different. And again, until I met people in the Phi community, I didn't know this was an option.
So did he help you define your goalposts? Did he help you define what that end line was going to be?
Yes, for sure. No, he actually has been really helpful. And that's been great. But on the other hand, it's still been very helpful to talk to people in this community as well, just to corroborate.
Well, let's talk about one of those people who's in the room right now. You asked our friend Mark, and let's bring up Mark Troutman. So when did you decide to reach out to Mark to verify that you might be ready to go?
I think it was probably a few weeks after economy. I think it was probably in late March.
Yeah, and why reach out to Mark when you already have this advisor who it sounds like is on your team?
Because it's a different viewpoint. Like I said, I mean, Mark...
It's like the second opinion?
Well, second opinion, but in terms of Phi. You know, my financial advisor wasn't really thinking of it in terms of financial independence, so to speak, at an early age. And so just to have, you know, confirmation, I think.
So we don't need to talk specific numbers, but Mike, you get this call out of the blue from Tanya. I'm thinking like 3 a.m. Probably not. Do you remember this phone call or this maybe text or whatever it was?
Well, I think it was actually at Economy, and she was talking to another individual, which I highly respect. And he said, you know, you should also talk to Mark because based on what I see here, you're good to go. But if you want another opinion in this community, talk to Mark. And she said, I want to reach out to you after economy. We scheduled a Zoom call. We kind of went through stuff. And I was like, yeah, he's right. You're good. You're good to go.
What is it that you think that Tanya did really well?
Well, saved a lot. So that certainly was the case. But I mean, there's other aspects that come into play that I think a lot of people don't think about, such as, you know, when is Social Security going to turn on? Do you have a pension? So there were other aspects of the plan that were also beneficial, not just the basic 4% rule, do I have enough 25 times kind of approach. So it was very much more of a checks and balances for the entire process of the drawdown phase of retirement for the rest of your life, not just 25X.
And Tanya, you haven't left your job.
Not yet.
No. So let's talk about this, though, because, I mean, retiring as young as you are, what do you think about things like healthcare?
Oh, you know, I'm very lucky. I have a state job, and I get healthcare. I just feel like I won the jackpot. I don't know how I got this lucky, but, you know, once I turn 50, I actually have a pension. That certainly plays into this a lot. And so it's not fully just what I've saved. It's working at this job for 20 years.
Yeah. So was your savings plan the TSP?
It's something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think, you know, having that option of health insurance for the rest of my life is huge. Yeah. So.
That is a biggie.
Yeah, it's a biggie.
That is a big one.
Yeah.
I mean, the people that you talk to on your show, Becky, I mean, you know, health insurance is always an issue, and having a pension is a wonderful, wonderful place to start.
Oh, it is. And that is somewhat rare these days. That was one of the issues that Stephen and I had. We knew that retirement was all on us. There was no pension. There was nothing like that. And we still didn't pay attention. So, yeah.
Mark, I know you don't regularly meet with a lot of people one-on-one, but when you do see people one-on-one and they're retiring early, if they don't have the health care covered like Tanya does, how big of a roadblock is that?
Well, it depends on how you structure your income. So, for example, many early retirees can choose to show less income and therefore take advantage of the subsidies in the Obamacare healthcare system. And some people choose to do that. Others don't need to do that and are just afraid even to know what the amount is going to be. And I just flat out tell them what mine is. I'm a single person. It's $1,000 a month. And for many people, they're like, oh, I thought it was going to be, you know, two times, three times that. And they have enough wherewithal to do that, and occasionally they may get a subsidy as well. So it's usually not as bad as people fear. They just haven't looked into it.
It's funny, though. One thing that I heard you not say directly, but we know, we live in a community of people, Mark, that are optimizers, right? And it sounds like what you're saying is solving for flexibility versus optimization often is your best friend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in that case, you know, there are different levers that you can pull when you retire early. So one is, you know, reducing your income for subsidies, or in some cases, you'll avoid the subsidy or not receive the subsidy to do Roth conversions because your lifetime tax situation will be better if you convert while you're not earning any income. So there are all different levers that you have available in the early retirement sphere before other income, even things like pension or Social Security, turn on. That is a superpower in this community if you do have the knowledge and ability to kind of take advantage of optimization.
Tanya, one of our potential breakout sessions has been the one more year syndrome.
Yeah.
Where people are at the point that you're at, they have enough resources. It takes a lot of confidence to actually make that move. When do you think you're going to make the move?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question.
Can you announce to your boss on the Stacking Benjamin show right now?
I've been thinking about it. We'll see. I mean, I feel like I do have that one more year syndrome nagging, or at least a few more months, something. I mean, it's hard to let go. And I think, like I said, since I don't think that I've had the financial literacy that I want to have, I think once I have that, when I feel really, really comfortable, I will be much more ready to say, yeah, I understand these numbers fully, and I trust that it's going to work out, and then I think I'll be ready to go.
I love that approach, Becky, because it's not about the people around you just saying it's great. It's that you know that it's great. And we talked about that, or I talked about that earlier in my talk, that you don't have smart people like Mark around you so that they take it from you. You have to be the one who knows your own numbers. You got to come to Bali. You have to go to Camp Phi. You have to go to Economy. You have to understand how this stuff works yourself and then surround yourself with smart people.
Right, right. And you can. It's completely doable. We started not knowing anything. You start out with small bites, and once you get a little more understanding, then you can start biting off bigger chunks. And eventually, you know, I'd say after a couple of events, and again, surrounding yourself with this community who is so helpful, engaging, encouraging. I mean, everybody here is here to help each other with no ulterior motives.
Yeah.
So I think it's great. And so that's what we did. We learned along the way, and we continue to learn even after we retired. we didn't have it all together when we retired. And so now we've been able to make even better choices.
I remember an early conversation when I first met you that you and I had about when you first started going to events like this. You found a lot of it confusing.
Yes, I did. And we actually had a breakout today for the folks that are brand new to FI. Mark was leading that group and did an excellent job at just stepping them through what does this mean, what kinds of things do we need to think about, what kinds of things do you need to research and learn for yourself. But again, we're all here to help.
Mark, you had something to say about Tanya's readiness.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in reference to the one more year syndrome, that is one of the benefits of coming to an event like this, because it's not just about the finances, are you ready, but sometimes it's mentally, are you ready? And there's a number of us who have already walked that walk, and we can explain, yeah, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have challenges when the paycheck turns off, but it really is not as bad as you may be fearing. And so there are people here that have walk those steps and can help you through that. And even as you take those steps, be there for you.
And it's losing your identity too. I mean, having been defined by the same thing I've been doing for 20 years, it's going to be hard to walk away from that.
But the cool thing, the other thing that we talked about that really fired me up, Tanya, was when you said you do have a big passion beyond the work you're doing now. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, I currently work in global health. I work all over the world. I've been going to Africa for 20 years and Asia for the last 10. And so I see things that a lot of people don't see. I'm always frustrated with the amount of disparity and inequality we have in the world. And so for me, it's very important to me to, I've thought about maybe working for a foundation. I mean, we need to try to equalize things a bit more. And so I'm hoping that I can continue to work in health, but maybe do it on my terms, you know, maybe do it, you know, 20 hours a week, perhaps, you know, or maybe doing it on a volunteer basis. But just being able to keep furthering, helping people advance in other countries who really don't have as much as we do in the U.S. I actually also joined Rotary in April of this year, and Rotary's been an amazing thing because I joined Rotary so I could do domestic work. I live in Durham, North Carolina. I wanted to work on habitat projects in Durham. You know, I wanted to, you know, help clean up parks, you know, that kind of thing. And then I realized that they actually have an enormous foundation. They have 1.4 members around the world. And so all of a sudden, I'm being able to work with Rotary clubs in Uganda to, like, you know, help villages there promote healthcare workers going to, you know, help kids who are under the age of 5 so they don't get malaria, so they don't get TB. And, like, that's amazing. And so I am really excited to have more time to work on things like that.
Tanya, I love this because you're talking about the fact that you already have a passion and a purpose, and we've talked a lot this weekend about purpose in retirement.
Yeah, and that's what I find the most powerful thing, is that the happiest retirees have this sense of not just this, you know, I'm retiring to something, not from something, but a much, much deeper purpose. Does anybody doubt here that Tanya's going to be okay with her purpose? Anybody doubt? I think she's going to be okay. Thank you, by the way, for being so vulnerable and telling us about this tipping point that you're at. I can't wait to hear the rest of your story. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Mark, thank you so much for helping out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Becky, that is so inspirational.
Oh, I love it.
And by the way, those are just a couple stories. I wish we have, Amy, how many people are here?
46.
46 people. We have 46 kick-ass different stories.
Absolutely.
I haven't heard them all yet, but I feel like everybody I've had breakfast, lunch, dinner with, been in breakouts with, like the fabric, how we all got there a different way is pretty awesome.
It is. And Amy, how many countries are represented?
We've got 4.
We have people from the United States, Singapore, Australia, and
Thailand.
Oh, that's right.
And yes. Bali.
And Bali.
And Bali. Yeah, we've got 5.
Slovakia.
And Slovakia.
Oh, this is amazing.
Amy's as good at that as she is at trivia.
Wait,
she's
there's
like,
one
I got
more.
4, and she's holding up 6 fingers. 400. John Thomas, like, I just want to, there's a complaint. John Thomas is like, I should have won. Yes. That's like every time we do trivia, there's an asterisk after it. Yes. It wouldn't be a Stacky Benjamin show if there wasn't an asterisk after it. Becky, your biggest takeaway so far this week, this few days we've been here?
You know, Stephen and I have been to a lot of FI events, and I love the fact that every event we go to is different because it's a different crowd of people. It's a different mix of people, but they're always awesome. And this one has woven together not only our FI conversations and the types of things we normally talk about, but also Balinese culture. And we've learned so much about the area that we've been in for the last few days.
I love the fact that Amy included people from Bali with these amazing missions. We had some phenomenal speakers before that, but I don't know about you. We had a woman here named Colleen, and she's like, how are you guys feeling? And people are like, empowered and excited. I'm like, I feel like a dumpster fire because I can't stop crying. I'm like, I'm not crying. You're crying. It was amazing.
There was amazing stories. And we have the opportunity tomorrow to go visit the village that the folks that were here today speaking with us are from.
Yeah.
And we get to see their culture and their lives in action.
You guys aren't looking forward to that, are you? I love all the speakers that we had.
They've been great.
But I think that Marley, who's here with us tonight, really encapsulated all of it when she said, the two best days, the day you're born and the day you find out why.
Absolutely.
And that was pretty powerful. I mean, we've really spent a lot of time on that. It's surprising because supposedly this is about money, and we've talked much more about why are we here than money.
No, there's so many more things to talk about. I mean, money permeates every aspect of your life, and we talk about those here, not just money.
Well, okay, let's get really serious then for our last segment of the show. We call this the back porch. This is where we're finished talking about money, but we are talking about fun. Well, some of these stories might include money. I would love to hear from you before we say goodbye some of the stories people had, either getting here or while they were here. And actually, even though Marley has her hand up, I would love for, she's like, it's not looking at me, not looking at me. Monica, do you mind coming up? Come on up, Monica. Will you? Monica has this, I'm going to call it an amazing story. Monica may not agree. So I was walking out to a group of people, Monica, with you. By the way, how are you doing?
I'm great. I survived.
You survived, right. Don't foreshadow. So you and I and Laura, another person here with us, we walk up together. I say goodbye to you guys as you're going off merrily to see what?
We were going to the Monkey Forest.
Monkey Forest. Which means there's monkeys and they're in a forest.
Yes.
Yes.
And sometimes they're outside of the forest.
Okay. So you get to the Monkey Forest. Let's hear. So what happened?
There's safety in numbers, right? We know this. So we're walking as a large safety group.
And there's like what, maybe 8 of you, 9 of you it looked like?
18.
Oh, there were 18? Oh, there were way more. Yes.
And we're walking across the sidewalk, and a monkey's there. Great, she has her baby with her. Don't make eye contact, I have nothing shiny on. Keep going. And the monkey decided it wanted to make contact with me. So Samantha said, here, can you hold my cup? Thank God. Because she handed me her cup, and this monkey, I saw it coming towards me, and I quickly started backing up, going, whoa, 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 whoa. And it growled and hissed and showed its teeth and lunged at my leg.
It
was going to take off my leg, I'm quite sure.
But yes.
It got my shorts, and so I quickly...
Have you had a rabies shot?
I have not.
Oh.
But it didn't break the skin, so we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
And so but it did scratch you.
No, it got my shorts.
It got
my shorts. So Samantha's cup saved my life because I threw it down and it was satisfied with the cup of ice.
Thank you, Samantha.
Wow. Wow. Death by monkey.
So you're not a fan of the monkeys?
I'm done with that. We can scratch that right off the list.
She's like, I've done it.
Check.
Thank you, Monica. Thank you.
Thanks.
Marley, you've got one? Come on up, Marley. While Marley's on her way up, Becky, I'm going to tell my story,
all right.
Which is that, so it was my lovely spouse Cheryl's birthday as we came here, and Amy knew it was her birthday, so she told the hotel that it was Cheryl's birthday. We get to our room, and we have, and I think some other people had the same thing, but we had I Love You, and did you guys have I Love You and Rose Petals? Yeah. Yes, we had I Love You and Rose Petals. We had Rose Petals in the tub, which was fantastic. But there's a knock on the door, and they bring us this huge platter and this cake that says, Happy Honeymoon. And they tell us we're in the honeymoon suite, and it's our honeymoon. And I looked at Cheryl, and I said, I've had this trip on layaway for the 30 years we've been married. I've been paying 67 cents a week for the last 30 years. I actually had it paid off 6 years ago, but I couldn't afford the flight, so then I had to do. So congratulations.
So no one came to the door and said, you're in the wrong room.
Well, no, Becky, what's funny is, so we just thought, and I talked to Amy about this, we just thought they messed it up, right? They thought it was honeymoon instead of birthday. And so we're getting ready for this wonderful outdoor ceremony, opening night celebration that Amy's put on for all of us. Just leaving, and there's another knock on the door, and they bring two cupcakes and sing happy birthday to us. So now it's Cheryl's birthday, and we're newlyweds.
It's a complete package.
Yeah, Cheryl's looking, and she's like, I freaking love Bali. This place is awesome. But Marley's here with us. Everybody give her a big round of applause.
Hey, everybody. What's happening?
You had an awesome talk, by the way. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. So, yeah. What's your Bali travel story?
Bali travel story is that someone put out there on the group that they were hiking a mountain at sunrise on essentially the night that I got in. So I flew in. I got here at 8 p.m., went to bed for a couple hours, and woke up at 2 a.m. to go hike up a mountain.
And you were on a plane for how long before that?
I was on a plane for approximately 32 hours.
Oh, good. This is a good decision.
Yep. I was just like, sure, I'm already, you know, I don't know what time it is. I don't know what day it is. I don't know where I am, but I'm going to hike up a mountain with someone that I have never met before in my entire life.
Perfect.
I was like, this is a great idea. Like, sure, let's go for it. So we get in the car at like 3 a.m. It's dark. We drive for an hour and a half outside the city. I have no idea what's going on other than I'm hiking up a mountain. Then we get to a random place and they're like, and now we're going to get on a boat. It is now 4:30 a.m. It is still dark. And we get on this boat in the biggest lake in all of Bali. And we're seeing all of these like stars in the sky, and it's just us two.
Is it stars or are you delirious?
Probably a little bit of both.
Right.
Probably a little bit of both. And so we're on the boat for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, something like that. Get to the trailhead, and it's literally two of us and a guide hiking up this mountain.
Wait a minute, who's with you?
My Bali boo over here.
Oh, Chantel's here.
Yeah.
Hi.
She's the one who came up with this crazy idea. I just signed up.
To be fair, I didn't realize it was crazy. It said that we were going on a like not touristy hike, and I didn't know that meant there would be two of us on the entire mountain. It was me, Marley, and the guide, and that was it. Until we got about 90%
there's
of the way up.
There's me, Marley, and an axe murderer.
Basically.
Wait, his name was... There's monkeys.
There were no monkeys. There were dogs.
And a really scary frog.
So they give us a headlamp, and we just start hiking up this mountain. And it's pretty much like straight up. Like, there was no switchbacks if you're a hiker. It was just like, we are just going right up the side of this mountain.
Then we get about 90% of the way up, and we notice there is a village at the top of the mountain.
With the Starbucks.
No Starbucks.
No Starbucks, but we get up there and our guide just like shouts to some random house that we're here. And then like all of a sudden a grandma like walks up to the top of this mountain and it's just the two of us and brings us this whole like breakfast and coffee. And we're the only two people at the top of this mountain at sunrise.
How kick-ass is that?
It was magical. And that was just the beginning of the day. It was like 6 a.m. and we're like, we are living our best Bali life. This is my first day in Bali. First day. Best day.
It was your first like 4 hours in Bali. And so the guide had like all the patience in the world, took about 1,000 pictures of us. And Marley apparently likes to take jumping photos where you jump up in the air and like do a sign. I looked ridiculous. She looked great. But in the end of the day, the guy was there for every moment. Then we went down the mountain, get back in the boat. And we did skip one thing. There was there's this one tribe that you can kind of go see, which apparently I saw the photos online. I was like, you know, I think I'll pass. They like to, instead of burying their dead, they really honor their dead, and they just take them and kind of lay them in a cemetery and put a blanket over it and let it kind of decompose naturally. And so the online pictures was just a bunch of skulls. And I was like, you know, I don't think I want to go to that one. They're like, are you sure?
I don't need to visit the skulls.
I'll pass. But because we didn't go to the skulls, we were able to go to this beautiful, like, water temple. And I'm like, this is way better than the skulls.
Yeah. Well, we didn't really know. He's like, we're going to take you to a water temple. But then we, like, go around this little bend, and we see this massive statue that's, like, the goddess of prosperity. Just in the middle of
nowhere.
Like, there's this giant statue and this temple that was like, there were no tourists anywhere to be seen. And there was a ceremony happening, and he asked the wise men if we could come in.
He really did have to ask the three wise men, and they said yes. So we got to be the only tourists inside of this beautiful water temple.
And then, if it couldn't get any better than that,
there were cupcakes.
The next thing was like, then we're going to go to a hot spring. And we're both thinking, we're going to walk through some jungle-y woods, and there's going to be like a hole in the ground and maybe some warm water. And then we end up in like the Disneyland of hot springs. Like, it was like...
We walked in and they asked, do you want to put any money on your wristband? And we're like, no, it's a hole in the ground. We're going to snap a picture, say, yay, we came, and then go home. And then they proceed to walk us past like six pools, infinity pools. There's a mountain in the background. There's like swim up bars. They can give you your lunch on a floating table. And then me and Marley look at each other and go, let's hurry up and put some money on so we can get some drinks or something. We stayed there for like 2.5 hours.
Oh my goodness. That's incredible.
It was an amazing day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Epic first day in Bali.
That's incredible. Yeah. Thank you so much for telling us the story.
You bet.
I feel like I needed to be saying, but wait, there's more.
But wait. Yes. All right. Somebody else have one? We need one more. One more. Amy, you got one? Yes. It's great, by the way, having the hostess with the mostest. And a big hand for Amy, by the way. Putting all this on. Amy, I know, because you and I have been talking about this since March, and I know you've been working on it well before you and I spoke, but the amount of work that came into bringing us together, I'm surprised you have hair left.
Barely.
Yes. Barely. But congratulations on such a great job.
Thank you. I love it. I mean, I love Bali. And so it is such an honor to have people spend their time and money coming halfway across the world to see this place that I love, and I love showcasing it.
And you have, definitely. Hasn't she? She certainly has. Yes. By the way, one thing we said before we hear your story to end the show, Amy, is that the Balinese people are just so incredible. Everybody's nice. And I think it was Kevin and I who's here that were talking about, like, every society has at least one person who's just a dick, right? But we haven't found him yet. Like, has anybody seen that person? Like, I feel like there's this guy, Todd, locked in the back room, and they're like, wait till they leave, and then you can come out. But everybody's so nice, Amy.
Yeah, no, people are incredible here. And that's what I found. I mean, I've lived in Asia since 2001. I've lived in a lot of amazing places, but when I came here, and I came here a lot as a tourist over the years,
yeah.
But when I actually lived here for a while and got to really sink into the culture and spend more time with them and develop deeper relationships, I love the Balinese people. They move me so much with their ceremony, with their culture and their community, their commitment to family and their tribe, their Banjar. They're beautiful people. They really think a lot about each other. So it's beautiful. Yeah, I'm so inspired by
them. It's fantastic. So all right, let's end the episode with another monkey story. Okay. Does this one have a Monica-esque ending?
It has, yes, it does. Not a bite, though.
Okay.
This is 2009, so this is a previous trip to Bali when I was living in Singapore. I was with my mom, and back in 2009, at the Sacred Monkey Forest in Ubud, they used to sell bananas. Yes, they used to sell, there would be people on the street that you could buy bananas. And somehow, I know that this isn't a smart idea. I know this isn't a smart idea, but you know, the guy was holding bananas, the monkeys weren't near him. So it seems like it might be a good photo opportunity. I know it's so dumb, but I bought the bananas. The minute the guy hands me the bananas, I had three monkeys run up my body. I had a monkey on my head, I had a monkey hanging on the front of my body, and I had a monkey on my back, literally. And I was panicking, so I was yelling. And
why would that make you panic?
Yeah, I don't know. And because I'm in such a panic state, I'm like, ah! And my mother, she's got the picture, she's ready to take a picture of me, she's laughing.
She just wants to take a picture.
Yes!
It's like I love these things when you see people like getting gored by a buffalo at Yellowstone, and somebody's like, check this out. Anyway, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, finally, you know, in that moment of panic, I threw the bananas, but I felt this warm, wet sensation down my back.
We're back.
Yeah, I felt this warm, yeah.
Ooh. We're back to the potty story.
Yes, we are. They say it brings good luck, maybe, but it didn't feel that way to me.
And it wasn't your chakras aligning.
It wasn't my chakras aligning.
It wasn't chakras aligning. No, from
Yeah.
Was your hotel close by?
Yes, it was.
Good.
Yeah, but don't buy the bananas. Dumb.
Yes.
Obviously.
Pro tip.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is what we've learned today. Don't buy the bananas. Get a van with a toilet in it. And make sure that you
rabies shots.
Yes, this has been a productive episode, Becky.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Where else can you get this?
I know, right, Amy? Thank you so much. Thanks
thank
for
you.
Everything. Thank you. All right, everybody. That's gonna do it from Bali. Thank you to all of you for coming out and hanging out with us. Doug, you've got it from here, man. What should we have learned today?
So, what should we have learned today? First, take some advice from Annie. Looking to try something new, van life might be just the thing for you. Or, you know, El Camino life, tomato, tomato. Second, take some inspiration from Tanya. You can retire, even if you stumble into it in a non-traditional way. But the big lesson, if you go into a Balinese restaurant, you should try out these hilarious food puns that are just a total hit with the locals. They love them. Check this one out. Don't be so temperamental. Just chill out and enjoy some soybean cake. Isn't that awesome? Oh my God, gather the kids around. They're gonna love this one. You're a real Pisang Goreng. You always fry my bananas with your humor. I barely got through that one without laughing. You're a real Nazi Goreng. You always spice up my life with your fried rice. I can't do it anymore. I cannot do it anymore. It's just, my sides are hurting. Thanks to all of our guests for joining us today. How about a big hand for Annie, Tanya, and Mark? Also, let's have a big hand for everyone who shared a Bali travel story during our Back Porch segment. Thanks also to Becky Hepchick for totally saving Joe today. You'll find Becky's podcast, Catching Up to Fly, wherever Fire podcasts are distributed. I'm Job's mom's neighbor, Doug, saying we'll see you next time back here at the Stacking Benjamin Show. Or, as the locals say, Terima kasih. That means thank you in Indonesian.
Well, Stackers, the show is over, but the party is just beginning here. You know why? Because it's Military Appreciation Month, and we are giving out shout-outs to all of our friends who have served in the military. And let's point the finger right here at our good friend OG, who spent time in the military. And of course, we know what a giver he is, even when he pretends like he's being Mr. Surly. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members to help them reach their goals. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate, and you'll see all their Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. They've got all kinds of resources on their site, like best cities after service to help veterans transition to civilian life and best careers for military spouses to support military families. So much going on. Just head over to NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Take a look at all the Military Appreciation Month offers and their usual offers. Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.